we were there. And our first 2 years, Wycliffe asked us to work as hard as we could to learn Turkish, the majority language of the country. And it, eventually our goal is and was to work with the other languages in Turkey that are not Turkish, which most of those are part of, you guys may have heard of the Kurdish people back during the Gulf War. Their homeland is a big circle that includes Turkey, Syria, Iraq, and Iran. So I don't know who's back there on the computer. Would you mind putting the cursor kind of like on the eastern part of Turkey here?
There's a city did I do that? There you go. There is a pointer. Thank you. So,
okay.
Is it working? Am I doing right? Should we have this? It's the red button, right?
Well, I can keep going, but the Kurdish people live in eastern Turkey, mostly eastern Turkey. But it's a very dangerous and hostile area. So initially we've been asked to go to Istanbul, where the Red Arrow is, and beautiful city, 13 million people, 15, I don't know, it's hard to know the actual number, but the only city in the world that is on two continents, Asia and Europe. We live on the Asian side, and the Bosphorus Strait runs right through the middle of the city, separating the two continents. But in Istanbul, there's at least, I don't know.
We say there's 15 million.
Or 3 million Kurdish people, 4 million, 5 million Kurdish people. It's hard to know. There's a lot of Kurdish people in the city. So we can actually work with the people that we were hoping to work with in the city for now. And if the Lord wills, we would love to move to the eastern part of the country. But for now, we'll be in the city.
Yeah, so our city really is beautiful. So this is like, the left-hand side is Europe, the right-hand side is Asia. And we live in the Asian side, and my office on the Asian side. Cross over a lot to do work on this side. But this is one of the bridges, and it really is beautiful. And there's a tour of the Bosphorus. It's the Bosphorus Strait, the Boğaz, as we call it. This is Kayet School.
Yeah, so we wanted to show you a couple pictures this morning of life for us in Istanbul. And so I mentioned our first 2 years, we worked really hard to learn Turkish. We took turns to go to a language school where we'd have these intense one-month courses. And it could have been really easy for Steve to just go and work on the language and me stay home because I was comfortable in the house. I didn't want to go outside. Like, nobody talked to me. But Steve really encouraged me to go, and he watched the kids. And so we both have become pretty, I guess you could call us fluent in Turkish. We're not bilingual, but we can do pretty good. So in the third year, though, this would include this picture here. Things changed for both of us. Steve started learning Kurdish, and I was much more involved in the community, mostly because we chose to put our son in a public school, which is all in Turkish. It was not the easiest decision, but we did pray a lot, and the door seemed open to do this. And so off we went, and all the parent-teacher conferences were 100% Turkish, and it was difficult. Like, what are we doing? This is crazy. And one day the teacher said, "Melissa, did you catch all of that?" And I meant to say I caught most of it, but not all of it. But instead I said, "I didn't get anything at all." And so they were all laughing at me and like, "Oh, it's okay, it's okay." So anyways, first day of school, this is the last day of school. So it was a great, great year for our son, for us, and a lot of those kids, I got to know their moms, and God's been good. He's been really faithful, and we both, over the last 3 years, couldn't agree with God more that he put us exactly where he wanted us. So it's really encouraging.
So just to give you an idea of our city, the highest number published in newspapers is 17, the lowest is 13 million people in our city. This would be like a 30th of the city. So all of the buildings would be 5 stories or more. Most of them, though, about 5, 6 stories, 4 stories. But some of these are even like 15 that you can see. Now, if you're like from where I'm taking the picture, or you took this picture, from where Melissa took this picture, if you went all the way from there to This is not working right away. Up here, you have to go this way. You'd probably pass 2 million people, is my guess, if you counted just those on the streets that you see, and then like people that are in the buildings on the streets. Not even like all filled in. It's just so many people. And you want this one?
Yeah, sure. A lot of people ask us where and if we go to church. And the answer is yes, we do go to a church. In a huge city like that, thankfully there's 3 international churches that we know of, and then a number of Turkish ones as well. But for now, we've decided to attend this international church. And to give you an idea of the nations represented, just amongst those kids, this is a 3 to 5 year old Sunday school class. There's Germany, New Zealand, Canada, Britain, Mexico, Turkey, and America, just amongst those kids right there. So it truly is an international church, not just Americans. Actually, I think there's the least Americans.
Yeah, we're not the majority.
But you know, we have an English service and a Turkish service, and we get to worship and come together once a week, and we're really thankful. The kids get to go to Sunday school, and that's a huge blessing.
Yeah, I'll take it. So one of the really fun things and different things about Turkey is that they love kids. And they do not expect 3-year-olds to sit, or 4-year-olds to sit, or 5-year-olds to sit, maybe 5-year-olds. Like, they have just different viewpoints. So they consider us like the children exasperators, you know. Because, you know, what should a kid do who's 3? He should run around. Well, our kid gets to do that when we're out. So we're eating dinner or eating lunch, and he just moves off and finds these 3 guys. They're beckoning him over here. They do it like this. Come, come. And he goes right over to him, and they love it. They're smiling. He starts grabbing the sugar and opening it up and putting the sugar in their teas. Oh, okay, do it to mine. And then stir it. And he spends like, must have said 30 minutes. I can't remember how long it was. And at the end, they were like, yeah, so you guys go. We got him. You've got 2 more. And this is just normal grown men. They don't even probably have families. They're probably not married. It's hard to tell. I would bet the guy in the black jacket is married, actually, just from guessing from their faces.
But they love kids.
But they love kids.
Yeah.
And it's just so wonderful. Like, it's really fun for us. We love it.
And Turkish people in general are very hospitable. They're very warm. They sometimes if you're a foreigner, they're like, wait a minute, what are you doing in my country? But they warm up to you pretty quick, and they love to invite people over for tea. So we have drank a lot of tea with sugar.
This is pictures of the glasses. Just to give you a little bit better idea of my work. So Melissa's basically at home in that area serving the people there. And my goal is to go out and meet all these minority language speakers that want to preserve their language. And some of them that are believers. So in this case, what's happening here is that I'll show you a picture. There was a project done of the Jesus story by Kurds in Armenia, which is not working again, sorry. It's got to be pilot error, right? But in Armenia, which is the kind of the grayish, greenish country, there's Kurds that have lived there. Thank you. And they did the project. They're actually not Muslim background. They're a different background, which I'm not going to try and explain. But they did it for the Muslims that live in Kazakhstan to the right and further, all Kurds, and then into Turkey for us. So they gave it to me, and it's my job to test it and make sure that it's going to be understood well and correctly by the Muslims. So this girl, her name is Rukan, and this means joy. And then she has these 3 friends. I actually don't know how well she knows them. But she encouraged them to come and meet with me and her, and we went through the whole thing. We played it on my computer. Yeah, she's a believer, and she's a Kurdish. She's Kurdish. So it was in their language, the first time I'd ever heard anything Bible in their language. And it was a coffee house setting with stories. And I was like going through, and they were supposed to stop me everywhere. And I stopped them at different important places and said, can you explain to me in Turkish how you understood that, whatever. And they would stop me because they're like, oh, this is our language, it's so great. And they're like, oh, this is kind of weird, what's this? I'd be like, oh, well, it's supposed to be this. And they said, oh, well, I would have said like this. And I write that note down. And so maybe the people in Armenia, or we can ourselves change it so it's even perfect for them. But at times it even was like wrong. Like one guy stopped me and said, Jesus just swore. I'm like, what do you mean? He just talked about the news. He's like, well, that word chaber, It means news, yes, but the way he's using it, it sounds like he's swearing. We use that word that way sometimes. I'm like, all right, make that note. We got to change that. So it's that different, all these little dialects, and even the best case scenario people don't just do it perfect on their first draft. They need us to double check this stuff. And the reason is because there's hardly anybody who knows those languages and knows the Bible. Very few. So we are the in-between. But we don't want to be the ones doing it. We want to train them to do it because then they use it, right? I mean, that's the goal, that it gets shared, that they would want to share it with their friends, family, neighbors, etc. If it's a gift from me, they might, but they probably won't do very much sharing. And the other thing we do is training. So this is our office, and there's four different guys here that are from different parts of different backgrounds in Turkey, and they came to our office. They're already doing translation of some sort. And Ali, he's the guy who's got the beard. He translated this Bible, this New Testament, and he's actually the most responsible for the church Bible, which is quite different. And he came and taught lectures on how to do translation and Bible for us, with us. He was so excited. I mean, he couldn't stand the fact that he was going to share his knowledge.
Yeah, he's a Turkish believer.
Married from the 60s, and he's been working on translation since the late 70s. And it's just wonderful. So he's the best case scenario teacher, and he came with us and taught. I have a small part in it, and they take the big part and make sure that these guys get really inspired to do it themselves and take our help where they need it. And you should share a little bit about this.
So another thing that this happened more in our third year, not so much in the first two, but you know, we got invited over so many places because for a Turkish person to have a guest is such an honor. Their door is always open. They're always waiting for the guest. They make extra food in case Allah sends his messenger, you know. And they have a phrase, we're waiting for you, we're waiting for you. And like, okay, when do I come over? But they never give you an hour or a day or time. Just, we're waiting for you, okay. But on this occasion, the three ladies in the picture came to me and said, okay, now we're ready to come to your house. And so I was excited but very nervous. And we ended up I had them over for a brunch instead of dinner, which brunch I can do because there's a set menu in a sense. They always have tomatoes, cucumbers, olives, white cheeses, eggs, and breads galore. And so not what I would have thought was brunch food, but this is what they love to do, and we had a great time. It was really fun. And then one other way we've kind of tried to have more local people into our home, this was one example, is, you know, birthday parties. Who do you invite? And even though we do birthday parties different, or they don't do birthday parties at all, our five-year-old still wanted a lot of his Turkish friends to come, so it was a bilingual birthday party, and those Turkish kids got to hit a piñata for the first time, and they thought it was amazing. They're like, wow, this is so cool. So,
yeah, they love the piñata. So we also want to say thank you. Just in case you didn't catch it, I'm Steve, this is Melissa, and we're so thankful for your prayers. You guys have been putting up our newsletters in the back. You can get them directly as well. They didn't record this, or if they did, they're going to destroy it, because we could be upfront and say things like Istanbul and Turkey. But on all of our newsletters, there's like code names. West Asia basically means this part of the world and such. But just know where we're at, know how to pray for us, and we're happy to pray for you guys. We get Rick's updates. We know a little about what's going on all the time. And on your way out, we have prayer cards that have this picture on them with on the back prayer requests. And there's a section for giving, but we're pretty well taken care of, so.
And we're thankful for the church's giving.
We're thankful
as well
for the church's giving. So that's on there, but don't worry about that as much. And then, but on there's our emails too. So if you want to directly receive the newsletters, which we do about four times a year, you could email us and we'll get them back to you as well. That'd be fine. Or you can keep grabbing them that way. We love you guys. Thank you so much. So if we could move over to the other PowerPoint presentation at that time, if you guys wouldn't mind, we'll be.